Seekers, Mike Malloy here. Welcome to tonight's program. If you, how about these crazy right wingers? Huh? Oh my God, it just never stops. I don't know why we focus so much attention on these freaks. I really don't. But I guess because they're in their little neo-fascist way trying to destroy the country, and you know, starting with the midster all the way down to the little bloggers and the little, you know, little column writers. And poison, poison, poison. Well, okay, that's cool. We're not going to focus a lot on the cretins tonight at all. Why bother? However, I got this thing from, it came from Bob Patterson, but it's about a guy named James Richard Armstrong. He has worked in the kitchen at Occupy Oakland, and he is an online columnist. And he has an idea that I think makes a lot of sense. Let me back up a little bit. Remember when the phony reports of phony violence, the only violence perpetrated against Occupy people were violence by the police, or perpetrated around the Occupy movement were violence perpetrated on them by the police. There are a couple of instances of people not even associated with that who got in some kind of trouble. I don't know. But the right-wing cockroaches, you know, immediately jump up and start screaming, "Shut them down! They're becoming dangerous!" That was what all these right-wing turkeys decided to say. Well, James Richard Armstrong has an idea, and there's something here. He thinks, using the very same logic, that all Christian colleges should be shut down. All of them. Because look what happened in Oakland just the other day. I mean, same place, Oakland, same place where the incident occurred in Oscar Grant Plaza during the Oakland Occupy movement, and a young guy was killed, had nothing to do with Occupy. But you heard the screaming and the shrieking and the frothing at the mouth and the spittle flying all over the place from the right wingers. Shut it down! Shut it down! It's dangerous! Well, okay, apply the same logic. Seven people systematically shot and murdered at a Christian nursing college campus. So James Richard Armstrong is suggesting that these cesspools of murder and violence be shut down. Don't you agree? The Occupy Oakland situation, there was one shooter and one victim. But at the Christian Nursing College in Oakland, one shooter and seven victims, as well as people injured. So, shut it down! They're becoming dangerous! Right? And, as James Richard Armstrong II goes on, since Christians have a propensity for violent acts all around the world, shouldn't that be even more of a reason to shut it down? As James Richard Armstrong II writes, history is chock full of circumstances where Christians are systematically murdering people who don't agree with their particular brand of illness. Therefore, there is precedence for this group of closed-minded thinkers of violence. So the recent attack on unarmed fellow students shouldn't be all that shocking, right? The Ku Klux Klan is a Christian organization. Those in the mountains of northern Idaho, with their little hidey holes and their automatic weapons, they're Christians too. And as Armstrong goes on, however, since Christians control anything, they've spun things to fit their evil agenda. Anytime one of them gets loose and nuts up and kills somebody, they always trot out that it was merely an isolated incident. And that may be true with some of this stuff. But you can't play that card every time and expect someone with unencumbered independent thought to buy it. Well, James Richard Armstrong goes on here. It's a very interesting piece, and it's very lengthy. But I think he makes his point right at the beginning. All the screaming and frothing at the mouth, that is typically right-wing. I mean, it doesn't make any difference if they're bloggers or talk show hosts or on TV or radio or on the Internet. It doesn't make any difference. They all follow the same script. They all are on the same page. Everything is exactly the same. There's no variation, no deviation, except in their minds, which are totally deviant. So using their same sick, twisted, disgusting logic, quote, quote, then it stands to reason that if one person is shot dead, an outside incident near an Occupy Oakland situation, encampment, and on the other end, the screams come to shut it down, they're getting violent, shut it down, then one shooter going on a campus and murdering seven people, a Christian college campus, murdering seven people and wounding more, God knows how many he wounded psychologically, shouldn't that be shut down too? Now, come on, you little right-wing turds, come on, come on, come on, you know what I'm talking about, come on, admit it, admit it, you know, if I ever hear a right-winger admit anything that's based in logic, common sense, decency, justice, fair play, logic, did I already say logic, I will immediately fall down on my knees, raise my hands to the heavens, and start screaming, thank Jupiter, thank Jupiter, thank Jupiter. Hey, Mitt Romney, by the way, this hour is being sponsored by, let me see here. Oh, yeah, John Malkins at peoplescongress.org. Thank you, John. The message for Mike and all he's done to keep America on its toes, join the conversation to transform America's government. At peoplescongress.org. I haven't mentioned them a lot recently, but you need to check out their website, peoplescongress.org. Peoplescongress.org. Please do that. I mean, just go there and check it out. Just you know, whatever you decide to do once you're there is up to you. But go to the website, peoplescongress.org. And thanks to John Malkins for the sponsorship this first hour. Thanks, John. Mitt Romney, what? I cannot, you know, I can't look at the mister anymore without laughing. Condescendingly and patronizingly. Laughing. This guy really thinks he has a chance of becoming president. And you know what makes this so much fun? The right wingers are eating their own appendages because they can't stand the mister either. Even though he talks the talk of these right-wing doofuses, he doesn't walk the walk, and he never has. It's just not Mitt's style. Mitt is not a neoconservative, gagging, mind-blowing half-wit, even though he's trying to play one on TV so that he can get the base of the Republican Party to nominate him, which they effectively have done. Because if there's anything the base of the Republican Party likes, it's a mind-numbing, half-wit, drooling, right-wing troglodyte who walks around talking about all the stuff that these freaks like to hear. So Mitt's going to get the nomination. There's no question. Rick Santorum, you can wait till 2016 and get your ass handed to you. Again, if you want to. I mean, it's up to you, pal. But what cracks me up is watching the right wingers choke on Mitt Romney. I love this. I think this is just fantastic. I absolutely love it. Now, when we come back, I'm going to tell you where the Mitster gets his information, his news and information. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Go gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So, Romney reveals his news sources. I know you're way ahead of me, but he took some pot shots at the press and the instantaneous age of Twitter that we all live in now. I don't mess with Twitter. I think it's ridiculous. Or Facebook. Kathy handles Facebook. I would no more get involved in that than pee up a rope. I swear to God. But anyway, he gave a speech yesterday to the American Society of Newspaper Editors and the Newspaper Association of America. And he began his little talk by pointing out, as if the people listening to him needed to have this pointed out to them, the striking, his words, striking changes to the media industry. And he was comparing his first time running for president in 2008 to his current candidacy, and this is what he said, quote, "Back then, I would look on Drudge or Fox or CNN online to see how the stories were developing, and only hours after a speech, it was being dissected on the internet. Now, of course, we go to Twitter. It's instantaneous. Blah, 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 blah." Fox? Drudge? The Drudge? You know, it's not called Drudge for nothing. Way to go, Mitster. You go to the Drudge Report and Fox, and CNN Online is almost as bad. They're getting there. They're rapidly approaching the sewer level of Fox. And today, Romney continued his verbal assault on President Obama. This is so damn funny to watch and to listen to. I mean, Obama just flicks this guy off like a booger, you know, like you know, gone. But Romney, you know, he accused Obama. Romney accused Obama of, quote, spending too much time at Harvard, end quote, while he was speaking at a rooftop event in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, of course, is in receivership. It went bankrupt. But that's all right. Never mind. Now, this is an odd thing to say because Romney went to Harvard. He graduated. And he spent more time at Harvard than Obama did. So he called President Obama, he spent too much time at Harvard. Not as much as you did, Mitt. See, Romney enrolled in a four-year program at Harvard in 1971. He eventually earned a joint JD MBA and graduated cum laude in 75. In 88, Obama began attending Harvard Law School. He spent 3 years there, eventually becoming president of the Harvard Law Review and graduating magna cum laude. That's 4 years for Romney, three for Obama. You know, to try to paint Obama as an ivory tower elitist, which is what Romney's doing, is insane when you stop and consider that on Romney's, you know, informal at this point, team, he has 14. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 Harvard graduates on his foreign policy team. Oh, Jesus, God. And that's why the minister can't connect with the trolls and weirdos that he's had to connect with in order to get the nomination. The nominating process is set up that way, so that you have to debase yourself. You have to roll down in the muck where these right-wing Republicans who turn out with their mouths open and their hands dragging in the mud to vote for the most obscene candidate they possibly can in the primaries. So the mister who really, really, really wants to outdo dad, is it, I mean, how many of these do we have to go through? Huh? How many do we have to go through? He's got to outdo dad. So he takes himself for a roll into the slime and the snot and the smuck, muck, which is where all these right-wingers live. All of them. Every single one of them. They constantly claw over each other to try to get their heads above the muck so they can breathe. So there's the minister with his ladies' jeans on, you know, his PTA jeans and his rolled-up shirt sleeves, trying to talk trash. But it just doesn't work for him. Every time he wants to talk about his pickup truck, he talks about his wife's two Cadillacs. It just doesn't work for him. And the car elevator in his $20 million house out in somewhere, I don't know. So the thing that is just, I mean, I'm really, you may not think so listening to this program, but I'm really enjoying watching these Republicans commit the kind of destruction to each other that's going to take a generation or two to overcome. This is great sport. In his life. And mama, some bad talk went around town saying that papa had three outside children and another wife. And that ain't right. Heard some talk about papa doing some storefront preaching. Talking about saving souls and all the time leeching. Dealing in debt and stealing in the name of the Lord. Mama just hold my head and say, papa was a rolling stone.
Soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy. It ain't me. It ain't me. I
ain't no senator song. 25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by John Malkins. He is with peoplescongress.org. You should visit that website, peoplescongress.org. His message for Mike and all he's done to keep America on its toes. Join the conversation to transform America's government at peoplescongress.org. Check it out, please. Regarding the logic of the right-wingers, Michael and Roswell writes, logic has nothing to do with it. It's about the emotional impact of the message. For instance, James Dobson of Focus on the Family has just in the last day or so said that Planned Parenthood distributes defective condoms in order to make more money from their abortion business. Jesus God. Is there anything that right-wingers won't lie about? Mr. Dobson, your God is going to punish you severely after you die because your own holy text tells you not to lie. But I digress. James Dobson, a Focus on the Family, said that Planned Parenthood distributes defective condoms in order to make more money from their abortion business. As Michael writes, think the wing nuts will mull over either the truth or logic of that statement? Hell no. They'll be getting condoms and putting pinholes in them to prove that Dobson's not lying his ass off. Logic? It was, if I recall correctly, the Tennessee legislature that wanted Tennessee public school math textbooks to reflect their sincerely held belief that the mathematical designation pi should be rounded down to 3. Logic got nothing to do with it. Mike. Michael. Going to round pi down to 3. Yeah, well, why not? It'd be a lot simpler, wouldn't it? You half-witted jerks. This is so right-wing. I mean, it is so right-wing. Orrin Hatch. Orrin Hatch, who at one time, as a senator from Utah, he's being challenged, I think, in a primary this year. He could be counted on to be a center-right Republican. A career Mormon legislator, no question. Old Orrin just liked being there in the Senate so he could posture and have his nails and hair done and just look so good and so, you know, Utahian. Well, but he stayed out of the muck. Orrin used to stay out of the muck. Oh, he was a devious senator from Utah, but he stayed out of the muck. No longer. He said the other day, in an interview with, I don't know, some right-wing Jesus, I don't know, interview. He warned supporters that Democrats are going to attack Mitt Romney's Mormon faith during the presidential campaign. Yes. Now, how does Orrin know that? He knows. Beck told him. Or some of these right-wing bloggers or talk show hosts or radio geeks or whatever. They told him! So it must be true! Now, this is the part that is stunning. The right wing has done nothing but attack Obama's religious status since before he was elected. It's been unending. They attack everything about his professed position about his religion. Obama, I think, is from the old school. You know, you don't drag out your religion and parade it in front of folks as if to say, aha, I'm better than you. No, that's what evangelical Christians do. Oh, come on, spare me the emails. That's exactly what they do. But Obama's old school. You go to church? That's nobody's damn business. You want to go to church? Go to church. If you don't, you don't. Look at Reagan. Reagan, in his 8 years as president, never set foot in the church. Unless it was somebody's funeral. But the mere idea that Obama would attack Mitt Romney because of his religious belief is so over the top, so insane, so slobberingly typical of the Republican base. And the only reason Orrin's doing it is because he knows, you know, he's got this reputation of being a dinosaur. He's been in the Senate for so long, you know, smooth, slick-talking Orrin, right? And he's afraid he's going to lose his position of power. So he's getting in the muck, too. He doesn't care. Oh, they're going to attack my good friend Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon. Isn't Harry Reid a Mormon? Yeah, I think he is. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. But the mere fact that Hatch would say that. And as Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, said, well, she described what Orrin Hatch said as preposterous, utter nonsense. And she pointed out that the Democrats would not stoop to the same levels. It's not stooping, Ms. Wasserman Schultz. It's rolling. It's just getting down in the slime and rolling around in it. That's what that's what Republicans do. And the Democrats wouldn't go to the same level as Republicans. Wasserman Schultz said, quote, let's remember that President Obama has had so many things hurled at him. Birth certificate questions, whether or not he's a Christian. And for them to suggest that religion will be injected by Obama and the Democratic Party, I mean, I think they need to take a look inward at the accusations that their party and their supporters have hurled before they take that step, end quote. And then in Utah last night, Hatch repeated it. He said, quote, for them to say they aren't going to smear Mitt Romney is baloney. It's way out of bounds, but that's what is going to happen, end quote. This from a guy who has watched his own party, as sludgy and putrid as it's become, do everything imaginable to attack Obama. His race, his parents, his wife, his children, his religion, his college education, everything. Not once in almost 4 years have they ever challenged with an idea of their own his positions on government. Never, not once. Hey, Boner, where are the jobs? Hey, Boner, where's all that stuff you and Cantor were going to do? Craig Janis, who's a Mormon, and is working for the Utah Democratic Party to recruit Latter-day Saints church members, said, quote, divisive and unsubstantiated claims about religion have no place in our debate. This is a country that was founded on the principles of respect and freedom for religion. Right. See what happens when you grant freedom and respect to something that is ultimately destructive? I said that, not Janis. Mr. Janis goes on, we hope that going forward, Senator Hatch will remember that as a statesman, he is held to a higher standard of conduct and will choose his words more carefully. Well, Craig Janis, who is also a Mormon and you know, trying to sign up other Mormons to go Democrat, which they won't, you know, in the first place, they only granted people of color official status in their religion, what, within the last 20 years, 25, 30 years? I mean, come on. Come on. But what was interesting to me about the story is the fact that Orrin Hatch, like every single one of these right-wing destroyers, phonies, hypocrites, lovers of injustice, is so willing to get right down in the slime and the garbage, and it's you know, several feet deep, and it's been created. It's washing this country. Coast to coast, border to border, across the once fruited plain. Now it's a sludge plain. And the right wingers have created it, just dumped all the lies and hatred and deceit and terror and fear of their own shadows. I have never seen such a bunch of cowards as this current crop of right wingers. And I don't care where they are. Every single one of them, even the ones who try to describe themselves and, you know, well, I'm not a Republican, I'm a libertarian.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike do it for you. It's Mike Malloy.
10 before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by John Malkins. Thank you, John. His message for Mike and all he's done to keep America on its toes. And you can join the conversation to transform America's government by going to his website, peoplescongress.org. And again, whatever you do when you get there is up to you, but I strongly recommend and suggest and ask you to go to that website, peoplescongress.org. Okay? You do that for me? Thank you. Thank you. Prairie 2 weighs in regarding, you know, this nonsense with the religion and the, especially the Christians. Good Lord. Can you imagine if the Jews were doing this in this country, or the Muslims, or the Hindus, or, you know, pick one. But it's the Christians. Prairie 2 writes, the last time the Christians got control of the world as it was defined, they burned the libraries and the librarians. They completely banned reading and writing and had monks preserving manuscripts they could not read. It only took 1,000 years or so for Western civilization to claw back to the level of the Roman Empire's peak, and the Christians continued to do their best to hold back science. Even then, it was only the science that was preserved by Muslims and the Enlightenment that furthered that made the Renaissance possible. This time around, the mindless Christ fans may be able to impose their thinking, or lack thereof, on the entire planet. It's possible that the only hope for mankind is the godless communists of Red China. Of course, that may require the extermination of the Western world for the species to survive, unless a liberal enlightenment rises again to the occasion. Is there a Jefferson, a Washington, Ben Franklin available today? Is there? Anywhere? Hello? Hello? Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see, right? Prairie 2? Yeah, it's just kind of funny to me that the Christians today have no idea that the only reason there's any science, math, astronomy, language. All right, maybe not language. But the applied sciences, such as they were at the time, all of that was preserved by the Muslims, who were not caught up in the craziness that swept across what was then Christendom, Northern Europe, and turned everybody into fearful little trolls who ate dirt and lived in poverty and squalor. And disease was seen as a curse from God. And the monks sat in their little cages and chanted and burned women. Thank Allah for the Muslims, huh? Barack Obama's a Muslim! America should be so lucky. And then there's Governor Scott Walker of Wisconsin, feeling the heat of the recall election he faces in a couple of months. He was on CBN. That's the Christian network. Ooh, yeah. And he said that the vitriolic campaign against him has gotten so bad that kids are harassing people are harassing his kids and his mom. Really? He says, last year, my 16-year-old and my mother were at a grocery store and got yelled at. Now, he doesn't explain what they're being yelled at. Move your cart, lady! You know, I've had my kids targeted on Facebook. Oh, nice word. Targeted on Facebook. We've had all those sorts of things. And now, thankfully, for every one of them, there's tenfold people that come up to me at a factory or a farm or small business and they say, hey, Governor, me and my family are praying for you. That never makes the news. Neither do the threats against your family. Scott, I think those are all in your head, right? Right, dude? Right? In your head? Because you're a liar. Now, this is a man who has spent his entire time as the toy governor of Wisconsin. He spent his entire time trying to destroy the lives and livelihoods of workers in that state and their children and their grandchildren and their grandparents. And this right-wing turkey goes on CBN to whine, oh! Oh! He told CBN that he trusts that the recall election is part of God's plan and that prayer has helped him and his family get through a difficult year. He said, quote, we realize that all this is just a temporary thing and God's got a plan for us that who knows where it might be beyond just serving as governor of the state. But if we stay true to that, there's always comfort and God's grace is always abundant no matter what you do. And it's just every step of the way, end quote. Listen, Scott, I don't think God heard you. He was busy answering prayers for baseball players to get home runs and stuff. So he might not have heard. You might want to try again. Scott Walker. And he calls other people bullies? Well, that's typically Republican. Think of this. Is being sponsored by Jan Crawford. Thank you, Jan. And now, rounding out our rogues gallery tonight, we have Jim DeMint. Poor, crazy Jim DeMint. South Carolina wacko. He called Obama a bully. At an event in South Carolina, DeMint was at an event in South Carolina. And according to the Herald Online, this is how it went. In Rock Hill, South Carolina, DeMint criticized President Barack Obama for being inexperienced and attacked the health care law now under review by the Supreme Court by trying to, quote, force people to buy things they don't want, end quote. DeMint called Obama a bully for recent comments he made against the highest court and said the president and his administration, quote, believe Americans are stupid, end quote. No, Jim, you are living, breathing proof that a huge chunk of Americans are stupid. The ones that vote for you or anybody in your party. or have anything to do with you. Now, DeMint is not the first Republican to call Obama a bully. The governor, Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley. Boy, she's got high approval ratings in the state of South Carolina. What I read the other day, she thinks she's this person from one of the MTV shows, Snooki. Is that, what is that, Jersey Shore? Snooki, is that her name? Snooki? Huh? Snooker, Snooki. Isn't she pregnant now? Yeah, I heard that. But she's being compared to Snooki, not because of body mass or anything, but because apparently Governor Haley is just all about Governor Haley. She hasn't done anything for the state of South Carolina. Well, there's a big surprise. Look here. This is my shocked look. But Nikki Haley used the word Tuesday to describe Obama's comments about the health care hearings and Obama's comments about Ryan's radical budget, Paul Ryan's radical budget. This is what Nikki said on, wait for it, Fox News! Yeah, you knew it, you knew it. This is what she said, quote, "What is amazing is what a bully President Obama has suddenly become. Here was a man that came in with hope and change, and now he's bullying his way. He's bullying his way on Paul Ryan, saying that he's not coming up with an adequate budget. Now he's bullying the Supreme Court, saying, no, they won't reverse this. They won't go against us on this. That's not how things work. He has to lead." He's shown no sort of leadership when it comes to balancing the budget. Ooh, really? No kidding, Nikki. He's shown no leadership when it comes to allowing the states to do the will of the people. He continues to say no to everything. End quote. Nikki Haley. Nikki, I don't know what you drink. I have no idea, but you should leave it alone. It's the Republicans, Governor, who have said no to everything. But you see, this is the right wing. This is the way they do it. This is the Karl Rove plan. You accuse your opponent of doing exactly what you're doing before your opponent has a chance to bring up what you are doing that inoculates you. You say, Obama is going to attack Mitt Romney because he's a Mormon. Even though the Obama administration, the Democrats, would no more do that than pee up a rope. But you say that. You get it out there. And then it goes into the right-wing echo chamber and comes out like this. Obama is attacking Romney because he's a Mormon. And then the bobbleheads. This is the way you get the Christians on your side. Because the Christians, the evangelical Christians, you know, they look at the Mormons like, ooh, you people are weird. But this is how you do it. This is what Orrin Hatch is doing. Accuse Obama of doing something he's not and never would do. And then the bobble-headed Christians will go, yep. Well, see, there he goes. He's attacking our religion. Well, not ours, but, you know, he's attacking our brothers in Christ. Well, not really in Christ, but, you know, he's attacking somebody. This is the Karl Rove tactic. It's great. If you're insane. If you're crazy, if you're a right-winger, in other words. So Nikki Haley is doing it. The governor of South Carolina. He's shown no leadership, she says, when it comes to allowing the states to do the will of the people. Really? Governor, can you give an example? No, never mind. And then she goes on to say, he continues to say no to everything. Oh, my God. And as far as bullying Paul Ryan, oh, really? Really, Nikki? Is Paul Ryan is the object of a bully? I guess Nikki picked something up and saw the word bully in a headline and said, oh, I know, I'll use that word. That's a good word. Yeah, okay. Paul Ryan is being bullied because his, quote, budget, end quote, wants to destroy just about everything in this country that operates for, here comes a surprise, Governor, women and children and old people and young people wanting to go to college? Really, Governor? So to attack that point of view is to identify oneself as a bully. Gee, definitions have changed since, I don't know what, a year ago? But these are Republicans. They lie about everything. Every single thing. They lie. They always have. They always will. They can't exist in a world with any kind of truth whatsoever. And that's just not your humble and obedient servant's opinion. I mean, for God's sake, just look at anything a Republican says, ever. Ever. I mean, you know, like your grandma used to tell you, the proof is in the eating. Or something like that. Now, at Crooks and Liars, very interesting piece that Al Babe, the writer and artist formerly known as Al Gordon, or formally. Oh, I see. It is formally. The writer and artist formerly known as Al Gordon, but he goes under the name Al Babe. He sends me a lot of stuff. A lot of it comes from Crooks and Liars. And the NRA fearmongers are whipping up a nasty case of extremism for future use after the re-election of Barack Obama. And these guys, you know, you think the Christians like, what's his name, Dobson, and the governors like Nikki Haley, and the senators like Orrin Hatch, and the representatives like Paul Ryan, and the rest of these vermin, you think they are lying? Which they are. You think they are using deception and fear and hate and disgust and contempt and injustice and no sense of decency, ethics, or morality to activate their base? You ain't heard nothing yet. I'll share this with you when we come back. NRA fearmongers whipping up a nasty case of extremism for after the election.
Gentle into that good night. Rage, rage against the flying monkey right with Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. Before I get into this NRA thing, another little, almost like a tweet. These are very quick emails from Prairie 2 tonight. He writes, the Republicans have to do something to fire up the base, you know, with all these lies and deception. Obama has been coming close to or exceeding the Republican vote numbers in the primaries, despite most people being unaware that there is a Democratic primary. The Republican base is dwindling away. They may be unwilling to vote for a black man, but they are starting to grasp that they have been sold snake oil. They aren't far away from forming a lynch mob for the Republican leadership. which doesn't want them hunting for them. Or something like that. I think I garbled that, Bruce. Oh, well. You get the point. So, David Niewert, writing at Crooks and Liars, he says, "Hey, right-wingers, let's have a little talk about the coming election. We realize it's not looking so hot for your side. But with the clown car primary season, we've gotten on the Republican side and all. But really, if you lose, it's not the end of the world. You know that. We know that. It sucks to be you, but it is what it is. And it's not the apocalypse. So we here in the world of normal people would like to make a request. Stop telling your followers that it is the apocalypse. Because we know with night follows day certainty that you folks have some violent and mentally unstable people among your ranks. And we know with the same certainty that after the election, these same people will begin acting out violently, usually leaving behind as victims we folks here on planet normal. If Obama does indeed win out, as is looking, thanks to Republican aptitude, increasingly likely. And it will all be because they believe the crazy ass crap you guys spew in order to get them all whipped up and eager to vote. The leading nutcase in this parade has been the National Rifle Association's Wayne LaPierre, who has been warning his fellow right-wingers of a massive Obama conspiracy to destroy the Second Amendment. Yes, indeed. This is what Wayne the Peter says. If you want a glimpse of a genuine nightmare for America, just look at what's headed our way. But unlike a nightmare, this isn't some fantasy. It's a very real, very dangerous conspiracy of public deception intended to destroy your right to keep and bear arms. It's targeted directly at you, and it'll succeed unless you recognize it, understand it, and take action now to stop it. Good God Almighty. What a scheme. And here's how it's going to work. He will neutralize gun owners and NRA voters as a political force in national elections, and thereby, number two, win re-election to a second term in the White House, where they then will be immune to the will of the voters and free to continue consolidating and misusing their ever-increasing power to, three, prosecute a full-scale, sustained, all-out campaign to excise the Second Amendment from our Bill of Rights through legislation, litigation, regulation, executive orders, judicial fiat, international treaties, in short, all the levers of power of all three branches of government. Woo! No, they're coming! They're coming! The Obamaites is coming. They're coming to get our guns. They're coming to get our women. They're coming to get our grandmammas. Oh, everybody run, hide, quick. How do you spell insane?
N-R-A?
That's it. Did you know? Do you see that Obama's going to do all this? Oh, there's more.
The Obama campaign will say gun owners. They'll say they left them alone.
This was at the Conservative Political Action Conference, something, I don't know, someplace, somewhere in the nether regions of America.
In public, he'll remind us that he's put off calls from his party to renew the Clinton assault weapons ban. He hasn't pushed for new gun control laws. The president will offer the Second Amendment lip service and hit the campaign trail. He's actually been good for the Second Amendment.
Which he has, you half-witted jackleg.
But it's a big, fat, stinking lie!
LaPierre screamed.
It's all part of a massive Obama conspiracy to deceive voters and destroy the Second Amendment in our country. Ah, ah.
Now, this is targeted ostensibly towards people who Wayne the Peter thinks are sane, when he himself is a gibbering goddamn maniac. See what I mean about how much fun this is? And truth be told, I'm lying.
radio right from the left. It's Mike Malone.
25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Jan Crawford. Thank you, Jan. Okay, back to this piece by The Crooks and Liars by David Newart. NRA fearmongers are whipping up a nasty case of extremism for after the election. Yeah. So the person talking here is Wayne LaPierre, or as we know him affectionately around the studio here, Wayne the Peter, who is the head of the NRA and either one of the biggest liars in the history of the human race or one of the most paranoid individuals in the history of the human race, one or the other. I mean, this guy is gun sick. And there's gun crazy, there's gun this, gun that, but this guy's gun sick. I just wonder if someday one of his guns will go off and be pointed in the wrong direction. Wouldn't that be ironic? But that's a different story. Anyway, so he's talking about what NRA members should do after Obama is elected, because Obama is conspiring to eliminate the Second Amendment. It's going to be taken away. Wayne goes on, Obama himself is no fool. So when he got elected, they concocted a scheme to stay away from the gun issue, lull gun owners to sleep, and play us for fools in 2012. Well, gun owners are not fools, and we are not fooled. Let me digress from this madman's ravings. If anybody has done more to advance the idea of gun craziness in this country, it's Barack Obama. I mean, he has made it easier and easier for people to own mountains of weapons, right, Wayne? But you don't like black people, do you? Anyway, back to Wayne the Peter's ravings. Sotomayor, Kagan, Fast and Furious, the United Nations, executive orders. Those are the facts we face today. President Obama and his cohorts, yeah, they're going to deny their conspiracy to fool gun owners because we are such asses. We are so easily fooled. Some in the liberal media, they're already probably blogging about it. But we don't care because the lying, conniving Obama crowd can kiss our Constitution. I've got something you can kiss, Wayne. Oh, my God. And then Matt Gaetz at Media Matters observes the following. NRA leaders and advocates have been so hard up for evidence that Barack Obama is anti-gun that they have been citing an Obama-implemented rule that requires gun dealers in some states to report multiple sales of assault weapons to the ATF. Of course, that rule would not prevent a single person from getting a firearm. The NRA's hysterical claim that President Obama wants to repeal the Second Amendment is a natural byproduct of the Supreme Court's finding in District of Columbia versus Heller that the amendment protects an individual's right to keep and bear arms. Until then, the NRA could offer the similarly conspiratorial claim that gun bans and confiscation were right around the corner. With those ideas taken off the table, even in theory, by the Heller case, the NRA has moved on to even more ludicrous conspiracies. Look what they're now telling their gape-mouthed followers. This goes on. This is from the NRA. It might seem like a stretch to compare an election to one of the deadliest disasters in modern history. This year's election could prove the most disastrous in the history of this country. Why? Because this election will decide whether Americans remain free. There's no simple, more accurate, or exact way to say it. It's all or nothing. Either we defeat Barack Obama and retain all the benefits of our pro-gun victories over the last 30 years,
or we lose this election and lose it all. They'll come for our penis, our guns. They'll come for them. Help! Help! Everything you and I and gun owners across America have fought to achieve over the past three decades could be lost as a result of just one presidential election. It's not just firearms freedom that's endangered. All of our freedoms are on the line.
What a bunch of hysterical half-wits. What is wrong with you people? Firearm freedom? What the hell is that? All of our freedoms are on the line. You bunch of cowards. You bunch of candy-ass NRAers. You are such wimps. You listen to this stuff and you suck it up. I have more guns than Wayne the Peter does. Do you think I'm afraid Barack Obama's going to come and take mine? Jesus, God. But see, I live in the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains, so I need firearms. I'm always sitting out in back shooting rats. You know what I'm saying? Big ass rats. Live out in the woods. Pew, pew. I hate rats. You know what I'm saying? Pew. Back to David, who says, now, pardon me for saying so, but that's just Looney Tunes ludicrous. And telling people that Obama is going to take away all of their freedoms if he wins re-election will leave a lot of people who actually believe this crap angry and frustrated beyond belief. And if they happen to have an unstable and violent disposition to boot, then they're going to cause problems. This is just classic bad speech. Profoundly irresponsible, cancerous and toxic, inevitably tragic. And it's not just the NRA either. It's pervasive on the right these days. And we know that when the inevitable violent acts happen, you all will run away and claim you have no responsibility for them. Ah! Well, this is good speech. We're calling you out on this. We're begging you to stop. Not because, well, because, rest assured, we will be holding you to account. I'll tell you, I've said before, I used to be a member of the NRA until years ago, decades ago, back when it was a sporting organization and taught firearm safety. And the way I got into it is my scout troop leader took all of us scouts when we were like 14 to, some kind of a firearm safety seminar conducted by... I think it was a joint seminar by Sports Field magazine and the NRA. And you know, this is in northwestern Ohio. And for those of us who went hunting with our dads, which I never did, but a lot of the kids did, they go hunting pheasant and rabbit. And, you know, they were teaching firearm safety, whether you were using a shotgun or if you were really trying to be cool. A single shot, maybe a .22 rifle, you know, just so the kids wouldn't kill each other, which still happened. I mean, in our Boy Scout troop, we had a terrible situation where a senior patrol leader, one day, one of his buddies who was just a scout, wasn't a patrol leader or a senior patrol leader, but invited him over to the house after school, and they were playing like 14-year-olds, so, you know, mess around, watching television, watching American Bandstand or whatever they were watching. And the one boy, the senior patrol leader, said to the other boy, hey, you want to see my dad's gun? He's got a Navy pistol in here. And the other boy said, yeah. So the senior patrol leader, he got the gun out of the gun case, and he pointed it at the other kid and said bang as he pulled the trigger. And of course, it was loaded. And of course, the other boy was hit in the chest, mortally wounded, died 6 or 7 hours later. And then I remember 3 or 4 days later, the rest of us boys in the scout troop went to his funeral. And there was Harry, his name was Harry, in his scout uniform, all freshly pressed, lying in an open coffin, while we stood honor guard. One Boy Scout at the head, one Boy Scout at the foot of the coffin, for 15-minute intervals. And then two other boys would step up. And the boy who fired, who pulled the trigger, of course, totally innocent, totally just had no idea that when he pulled the trigger and said, bang, he was going to take another boy's life. And you know what? That kind of stuff still happens, doesn't it? You remind me. This is how you remind me. This is how you remind me.
Truth Seekers, Uncle Mikey has another bedtime story. Back to Mike Malone.
Ten before the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Jan Crawford. Jan, thank you so much for the sponsorship. Thank you. Where was I before I was so rudely interrupted? Oh, yeah. Harry's funeral. I can't date the time or the circumstances when the NRA fell into the hands of psychopaths. I really can't. It was sometime, I think, in the 70s. And I'm not sure what the... If there was a precipitating event that made the leadership and the board of directors and all those people who comprise the National Rifle Association to go just bat bucket nuts. And in fact, I've never seen, with the exception of the Republican Party, because it's become Christianized, those two organizations are the only two that I'm aware of. I know that maybe Michael or Prairie 2 will come up with some other ones, but they're the only two organizations I know historically in this country that have gone from balanced wackiness all the way into complete paranoid, raving schizophrenia. I guess it'd be schizophrenia. They present themselves as defenders of the Second Amendment, and yet they advocate crazy. I mean, just pure, outright crazy. There is nothing rational about anything that you will find on their website or in their publications or anything that Wayne the Peter says. Nothing rational. Nothing that even comes close to being rational. And I don't get that. I mean, what's the point, boys? In the first place, you know damn good and well that nobody's ever going to come and take your little guns away from you. You know that. You know it. So why do you present to your membership, whom you must consider to be total idiots, that that's going to happen? I mean, you've been talking about this since Jimmy Carter. What is wrong with you people? They're going to come. How is that going to be done, Wayne? Are they going to come around everybody's door with big bushel baskets?
We're looking for your guns. Give me your guns.
Well, are they going to have a platoon of Marines with them in case you don't give it up? What are they going to do? Shoot RPGs into your house? You're just insane, Wayne. I mean, you really are. And that's okay. This America, dude. You can be as crazy as an outhouse rat, which you obviously are. But dear God, bro, why do you want everybody else to join crazy with you? Nobody's coming for your gun. There's 250 million guns in this country? 300 million? God damn. How are they going to round up all the guns, Wayne? How are they going to do that? Is it going to be done on a weekend? Is it going to be done in the dark of night? Are they going to do it simultaneously across the United States, or are they going to go town to town, village to village, outpost to outpost? You're crazy, Wayne. You are just bat guano nuts, which you have a right to be, but we're talking guns here, pal. Is crazy and guns, is that a good equation? Crazy plus guns equals woohoo! Is that what you want? See, Wayne the Peter is doing what Orrin Hatch and the rest of these freaks are doing. Pushing. This is what Limbaugh does 24/7. This is what Beck does from this little spider hole he's in now on the internet. That push. Just keep pushing. Keep pushing people into crazy. Keep pushing. Get them shooting each other. Get them yelling at each other. Get black against white, Jew against Gentile, gay against straight, up against down, left against right, mama against papa, right? I mean, what's the sport in that? Why don't you all just go, I don't know, go to dogfights or cockfights or something, but why in the world do you want to turn your fellow citizens on each other's throats? Are you that sick? Yes. I just don't get you people. I don't get any of you. But Wayne the Peter standing there saying this kind of stuff. I mean, this is so over the top as to render it. I don't know. It's like science fiction. It's like something from, I don't know, a broadcast from Arcturus or, you know, the nearest black hole, which would be Wayne the Peter's brain. Man. I mean, isn't there enough hell to deal with, you freak? To deal with this kind of ranting and raving that Barack Obama has a plot and a plan and he's going to come for your guns? There are 250 million guns in this country. I mean, Jesus, God, just simple math should demonstrate the craziness of what you're saying. But never mind. You got to consider two things. First of all, the source, the font of this madness, Wayne the Peter and the boys at NRA, and the receptacle into which this craziness is being dumped. And that is these open, cavernous, empty brains of the right-wingers in this country. They believe this stuff. They really do. Jesus God, what has happened to this country? 7 past the hour. Phone lines are open. The number here is 877-996-2556 if you want to comment. Please do so. A couple of program notes. First of all, we are off tomorrow night. Brad Friedman will be filling in. So have fun. Get hysterical with Brad. All right? And if that's not good enough, how about this? Monday night, we have, for your listening pleasure, the first Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe returns. Not a replay, brand new. And this will start, we are anticipating that this will start a series of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe episodes, courtesy of the writer and producer of the series, Bob Alexander. And that'll be Monday night. What we'll probably do, let me think, maybe the first hour, Monday night, we will share with you the return of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. And you're going to love it. Bob is having a creative eruption. Ooh, for some reason that doesn't sound very good. In Canada. And we're really looking forward to this. I can't wait to hear the finished product. So that's Monday night during the first hour, the return of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. And tomorrow night, Brad Friedman will be filling in for us. So isn't that good news? Isn't that great news? This hour is being sponsored by Gail in Berkeley. And her message is just, it's one of those messages that's so kind, but it makes me a little bit embarrassed when I read it anyway. I love you, Mike. I love Kathy and Molly. Your decency, intelligence, and wit are a beacon of light in this dark world. I don't know what I'd do without you. Gail in Berkeley. Well, that's very kind. Thanks, Gail. Thanks for the sponsorship. And the words are humbling. Thank you. I appreciate it. Michael in Roswell, one more little bit here about the guns and everything. Michael writes, people are gullible and terrified, and the gun and ammo manufacturers know it. They know their customers. That's why Wayne LaPierre can get away with such gross exaggerations. Never underestimate the economic benefits of keeping people fearful and crazy. What would the composition of the NRA look like, Michael writes, if its motto was, guns are dangerous in the hands of gun nuts? Well, in truth, they'd all become members of Gun Owners of America, in that case, whose leaders are even crazier than those of the NRA. Cheers, Michael and Roswell. Yeah, I think the reason Wayne is just going so far off his nut, I mean, just out there someplace where the coil that returns him to his crawl space when he's finished, that coil has now broken, and he's just flying through space with his mouth open. And I think the reason is Gun Owners of America, NRA, are in a death struggle. You know, there are only so many people who are willing to respond to this over-the-top rhetoric. I don't mean that number is limited. It's limited only by the size of the population of the United States, but that is limited. So membership in one of these Nazi organizations is self-limiting at some point. So Wayne is terrified that he's going to miss a dollar or 20 or a thousand, and therefore he's got to be more over-the-top than Gun Owners of America. So that's where, in my opinion, that's where all this conspiratorial horse crap is coming from. These people are just, I mean, it's just, it would be funny except for the fact that it's lethal. You know, you put all these firearms in the hands of people who are only marginally sane, and some of them totally insane, and it's a recipe for, well, you know, pick up the newspaper every day. And just remember, guns don't kill people, people kill people. That's right. That's absolutely right. (sighs) 877-996-2556. You want to talk or not? We'll wait another second. Well, we'll talk with George. George is in Jacksonville, Florida. Hey, George.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike?
I'm all right.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
you're speaking about the NRA tonight, and the NRA is supposed to be there for gun rights and everything.
Right.
And
well, that's the way it started out. As a matter of fact, it never even started out that way. It started out as an organization that taught hunter safety, firearm safety. It started out with the realization that Americans were going to hunt. They're going to go do this. They're going to head for the field. So they might as well know how to handle a weapon. They didn't start this nonsense about gun rights until, I don't know, 25, 30 years ago when they all went insane. There's no need. Look, it's the second damn amendment to the Constitution. I mean, how do you unconstitution an amendment to the Constitution? I mean, it's never been done in the history.
Well, that's unconstitutional, right?
What?
That's unconstitutional, right?
What is?
Disband an amendment to the Constitution?
I don't know how that works. I frankly don't care. I mean, it's something that is part of the Constitution. I don't know how you unconstitutional it. But I do know that. I do know this.
My call, Mike, and you might actually enjoy this because I wish I could vote this year, but the NRA didn't have my back when I got sent to prison and everything and had my rights revoked.
Why'd you go to prison, George?
Well, there was an incident here where it was an accidental shooting. My last time in prison was for possession of firearms, actually.
Yeah.
But
isn't that ironic? Oh, listen, George, you know, my bad. I'm just looking at the chat room here. Yeah, things can be unconstitutionalized. The amendment, I forget which one it was, about prohibition, where, you know, honest, God-fearing, gun-toting people couldn't go get a drink in this country for a number of years. That was repealed. So, you can unconstitutional something, but it takes massive amounts of legislatures have to agree, the federal government has to agree, the states have to agree, yada, yada, yada. Now, back to why were you in prison?
Well, there was an incident. Me and a couple friends of mine was out there in a legally confined area, and we was shooting our guns, and somebody that wasn't supposed to be where they was ended up getting hit by one of my bullets.
Yeah.
And now the kid was fine, just some scrapes and bruises.
Wait, George. Bullet scrapes and bruises?
Well, it was just a flesh wound. It wasn't really a big deal.
Oh, okay. All right. How old was the kid? Six? Three?
Oh, no. He was like probably 12 or 13.
Oh,
or
well then. So you went to prison for doing what? I mean, if some kid jumped in front of your bullet, that's not your fault.
Well, I was apparently, it's against the law to give people flesh wounds.
Yeah,
while you're drinking. And I was drinking.
Oh, you were
drinking.
You
got all angry.
Yeah.
You know what, George?
Some parents are just a pain in the ass. These people got all angry because you flesh wounded their kid? Where's the sense of humor?
Nah. Surgery was successful, Mike. Don't get it twisted. Surgery was successful.
Hey, let me ask you something.
This was before Obamacare.
Is this really blue? Is this blue?
Was before Obamacare.
Is this blue? You're blue. Wait a minute. You're blue. I know you are. That was a good voice. George, you know something? This is the third time that Blue has called in the past, 6 days? Wow, Blue. That's cool. Gotta go, man.
You know, some parents, you know, you just can't go shooting their kid without them wanting to call the police or something.
Yeah, I mean, some people just can't, you know, I don't know. It's just weird the way that works, isn't it?
Driving backwards in the fall, 'cause it doesn't remind me of anything. Turns it all off.
microphone, and that makes him dangerous. It's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. Derek in Terre Haute writes regarding Wayne LaPierre. Wayne is doing a Lady Macbeth. There's so much blood on his hands from all these school massacres and such that insanity by guilt is finally driving him stark raving mad. You know, there's probably a lot of truth to that, Derek. It probably is. By the way, I didn't mention this earlier, and I'm not sure if there have been updates. This is from very, very early this morning. The George McGovern, former senator, presidential candidate, is in the hospital. He was a bomber pilot in World War II, as most of you know. I guess he's in his late 80s now or early 90s. And Kauai John has sent this to me. He said, funny how often the most liberal politicians were the ones who actually won the Great War. Kauai John writes, I have a mind photo of him in an upstairs room at the Santa Cruz Vet Center as he was preparing remarks to deliver to a packed house in 15 minutes. Funny how such small stuff sticks and means so much. Kauai John, yeah. Okay, where are we? We're here. Ken is in Iowa, a trucker. Listen to XM. Hey, Ken.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I'm all right. Last time I checked in with you, I was in North Dakota a few weeks ago. That last comment just cracked me up. I love the way that the story progressed, you know, like... I went to jail. What for? You know, oh, well, for shooting the guy.
Oh, wait. Hey, Ken, we're just getting barely getting your phone call.
It's a bad connection. I'll try later, Mike.
Okay, if you would. Thanks, Ken. I appreciate it because we'd love to hear what you've got to say, but. You know, when it comes in herky-jerky like that, nobody can hear what you're saying. And, try again. We'll see if we can find a better cell or whatever. Ray is in Oakdale, Minnesota, listening on KTNF. Hello, Ray.
Hey, Michael. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you doing?
Well, I'll be doing a lot better when... we have a permanent marriage of revolution with evolution in this country, and right now we don't seem to have that. You've talked about this. The left is so fragmented, but tomorrow I'm going to send you a very specific email as to how we can work together, and I'd really like your thoughts on it next week. Because our problems, Michael, started with Columbus, and the sooner we come to grips with that, the better. I mean, if you had been on the Santa Maria, you could have seen Wayne LaPierre coming.
Yeah,
Wayne LaPierre, whatever you call him.
That's probably true, come to think of it.
And, you know, when things get so low, dear brother, that you had to go on the air a few weeks ago and talk about how... emails were sent threatening even your child. I was so angry, I wanted to cry, and I did. How do you threaten a baby?
Well, I've come to the realization, Ray, that people are driven insane in this society. They really are.
Yep.
The people who make those kinds of threats against me or Molly or what have you, those are empty, hollow threats coming from the mind of somebody who is just so pushed. They don't really have a life. There's nothing to look forward to.
Yeah.
They're the type that live lives of quiet desperation. They hear somebody on the radio, and it just drives them insane. I don't take any of that seriously. And the reason I don't take it seriously, not really. I mean, I save all of it, and we have an extensive file of that kind of stuff. But the reason I don't take it seriously, a couple of reasons, is because, first of all, I just consider the source. I consider the kind the kinds of people who would write that kind of stuff, knowing full well that they, you know, they can be tracked back to who they are. These are people who I only can pity in a real piteous manner, you know, pitying them in a piteous manner. And plus the fact I'm heavily armed. But anyway, Ray, I just don't let it bother me anymore.
Well, that's good. But I was telling you, Kathy, as we speak, there is a hateful right-wing person on the radio right now. Her name is Janet Mefford. And I was teasing your wife. I said, Kathy, you could take her in your sleep. No, you could cream her. But she's on a much more powerful radio station, and that's what frustrates me.
Oh, sure. But that's the way it works, right? You know, we're very happy that KTNF carries this program. But the big powerhouse stations that are owned by great big corporations, they don't want to hear anything that I've got to say. Trust me. Ray, I got to leave it there. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you checking in.
It's Mike Malloy.
Damn frog, 25 before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Gail in Berkeley with a very sweet message. I love you, Mike. I love you, Kathy and Molly. Your decency, intelligence, and wit are a beacon of light in this dark world. I don't know what I'd do without you. Gail in Berkeley. Thanks, Gail. That's very sweetly said. Appreciate it. Bob the Poet is in Tennessee. Hello, Bob.
Hi, Mike the Microphone. How are you doing?
Doing okay.
Say, you mentioned that the Democrats, according to the right wing, are going to attack Romney's religion. And you said that this is... And correctly, you said that this is the Karl Rove method, to accuse your opponent of doing what you yourself are doing before they can say what it is you are doing, and that this inoculates you. So I'd like to tell you a little story that illustrates this from my life, because this tactic predates Karl Rove.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 1970... the first Earth Day was being held at Union Square on 14th Street in New York City,
mm-hmm.
and I was there. John Lindsay was mayor then, and the Panther 21 were in jail.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was sitting on a park bench, Lindsay and his entourage was strolling around the park. And I stood up and said, Mr. Mayor, I would like you to release the Panther 21. And immediately a burly bodyguard came and grabbed me by the two biceps, started pushing me backwards and screaming at me, yelling loud enough for everyone around to hear, get your hands off of me, quit manhandling me. Stop pushing me around. Exactly what he was doing to me.
Right.
And it literally took the words out of my mouth, because that's what I wanted to say to him,
right.
But it shocked me.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that this is a method that is used by people in that situation. And it's just being transferred to our political landscape today.
Yeah, and this is not in politics is not a it's not that new a tactic. It's been done for a while. I mean, you know, there was a time, I've read anyway, Bob, when politics in this country was really, you know, the mudslinging, the yellow journalism, which I believe that's where the term came from. It was pretty bad. But, you know, as the country matured a little bit, allegedly, we got away from that. But it's been Republicans, the right wing, that has brought all this crap back. And it's just amazing to see the tactics that they're using. Primarily because Barack Obama is not 100% Caucasian. You know, he's only 50% Caucasian. And that's just driving them up the wall. The fact that there's a so-called black man, you know, the 1% rule in this country, the so-called black man who is, or a black man, I'm not going to identify him except the way he wants to be, a black man in the White House, and that's got these folks just I don't know, they can't sleep at night. They feel like spiders are crawling around inside their heads, and bees are buzzing inside their mouths. They're going crazy. So
man, the one drop rule. Well, you know, you and I grew up at a time, I grew up during the Second World War, and you were also the beneficiary of the country being unified at that time, so that the political discourse, I think, had been much modified by the fact that the country was brought together in a single purpose. But it certainly has deteriorated, and it started with McCarthy, I reckon, and John Birch, the Koch brothers' father, and has only gotten worse since Reagan.
That is sure the truth. Bob, thanks, man. I appreciate you checking in. All right? Take care, Bob. Phil is in Colorado. Hey, Phil.
Mike, I want to thank you for your efforts here on the radio, and I wanted to ask you to please study the statistics regarding violent crime in the United States and the direction that it's taken since the liberalization of the concealed weapons permits by the majority of the states.
Well, you know that, are you talking about, what's his name's, this new book that's out, the guy that wrote the bell curve?
What I'm talking about is the FBI statistics regarding violent crime.
Yeah.
And the numbers of concealed weapons permits that have been issued in this country since roughly 2005.
So you're finding a cause and effect there?
I'm finding that the graphs, if you overlay them, form an X. The more concealed carry permits that are issued in this country, the farther the violent crime rate falls.
Now, I you know, I don't have anything to back me up, Phil, but and you may be right, but to me that sounds like, you know, just so much hogwash. I don't have the statistics in front of me. I doubt seriously. No offense, pal. Because I'm sure you're dedicated to your beliefs, but I doubt seriously if there is a cause and effect. There may be a statistical correlation, but I don't think that it's directly, there's a direct correlation between the number of guns being carried and the number of violent crimes going down. I'm sorry, I'm just going to buy that one. You know, somebody wants to send me something that, you know, I can study. Take a look at. I don't know. That just sounds a little bit, you know, off the wall there, pal. I'm sorry. Anyway, thanks for checking in. Gary's in New York City listening to XM. Hello, Gary.
Hey, how you doing? I'm trying to talk about the aspects about legalizing marijuana and the aspects of how it would benefit and how it wouldn't benefit.
Yeah.
What's your opinion on that?
Me?
Do you think they should legalize it, or do you think they should keep it illegal and still prosecute people for owning?
Well, you know, you haven't heard my program very long, Gary. I've been saying for 25 years that something that essentially is started out as a weed is very hybridized now and is very powerful now, but to send people to jail because they want to smoke a weed that does, or a plant that really doesn't kill anybody. That's illegal and you go to jail. But, you know, for the 400,000 people a year that die of smoking a cigarette-related death, you know, cigarettes are a lawful taxed a product that causes death, destruction, misery, pain, suffering, disease, illness, fear, terror. And marijuana just makes you, you know, high. It's madness. And my position, of course, has always been that, not so much to legalize marijuana, but not have any laws about it whatsoever. Nothing. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. We live in a country where alcohol and tobacco are legal, and between the two, more people become just crazy or dead or sick or ill. And yet, you know, in my time on this planet, I've known a lot of pot smokers, among whom I have to include myself. And I've never met anyone yet, which isn't to say they don't exist, but I've never yet met anyone yet who said, oh, I'm dying. What are you dying of? Marijuana smoking. Really? Jesus, that's too bad, man. Really? When did that happen? So, whatever. I don't even like to get into it, Gary, because legalization of marijuana should have been, it never should have been made illegal to begin with. A, B, the suffering it has caused to families who watch their parents or their children or their spouses or whatever being sent off to feed the prison industrial complex in this country. It's awful. And to know that we live in a country where tobacco is legal and marijuana will send you to prison is just another manifestation of the crazy that just ripples through this society. So that's about the best I can do, Gary. Thanks. Thanks a lot for checking in. I appreciate it. We have a break here. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Brad Friedman will be sitting in. Monday night, the return of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe. If you don't know what I'm talking about, tune in Monday night. If you do know, if you're a former fan of Mike Malloy, Radio Gumshoe, you're in for a treat on Monday evening, all right? So, there are program notes. We'll be right back. Before the hour, this hour has been sponsored by Gail in Berkeley. Thanks, Gail. She writes, I love you, Mike. I love Kathy and Molly. Your decency, intelligence, and wit are a beacon of light in this dark world. I don't know what I would do without you. Thank you, Gail. That's very kind. And thanks for the sponsorship. That is very kind, too. Mark is in Seattle with Occupy Seattle. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mike. I was hoping to help you raise a little hell here tonight. Although I am hearing an echo at the phone, which is strange, but I'll go on. I just wanted to let you know that the other night, you know, students at Santa Monica College were... Are you still there?
Yeah.
And pepper sprayed. Okay. They were beaten and pepper sprayed by police when they tried to enter a meeting of the Board of Trustees while they were discussing tuition hikes.
Mm.
And in Tampa, Florida, they're trying to pass laws now that say that during the Republican National Convention, no one will be allowed to wear a mask,
mm-hmm.
no Guy Fawkes masks,
mm-hmm.
no strings longer than 6 inches.
Yeah, we talked about this the other night, Mark.
Well, tonight they had the hearing in Seattle over the rules restrictions against protests on campuses in Seattle, and the ACLU was there. They that it totally violates the Constitution based on the principle of prior restraint, and also the American Federations of Teachers came out against it.
Mm-hmm.
All of the faculty spoke against it. So I just want to let people know that across the country, there is definitely a crackdown going on the freedom of speech and assembly in the United States.
Oh, sure.
And people really need to stand up against it. And I thank you for bringing up these issues on your program. It's few and far between on the media landscape where you can hear these kind of voices talking about it.
Did you, are you aware, I think it was in Santa Monica College no, it was a university someplace on the West Coast. We talked about this, I think, on Tuesday, where students who were quietly, peacefully protesting an uptick in tuition, and there was more to it than that. There was a couple added issues, but they were protesting. The cops showed up and immediately started pepper spraying everybody right into their open mouths, into their faces. This idea that the authorities now are going to strike and strike hard. This is preparation for what they have planned for the Occupy movement and the peaceful resistance movement that is going to blossom come summer. So, you know, everybody who is planning, and I include myself in this, who is planning to participate in lawful, peaceful resistance to this police state that we're living in now, we all better be prepared because this is the tactic that is going to be used. That's what the Supreme Court ruling the other day, Mark, that it's okay to strip search somebody when they're first brought in, even if they're brought into the local police station for a traffic violation or a leash law. And, you know, the idea of innocent until proven guilty, that's going out the window, too. So we're in a hell of a mess here. And the only thing, as Chris Hedges has said, and many people have said, the only thing that is going to fix or change the society, if any of us are still interested in doing that, is going to be massive, massive civil disobedience. I mean, on a scale this country has never seen before. So we'll see if that develops.
I would suggest that people who want to go to a peaceful protest in this country buy a pair of really good goggles to protect yourself against the pepper spray.
Right.
You might want to have some kind of surgical mask or something, because you never know when it's going to come. You can ask Dorothy Rainey up here about that, an 85-year-old woman.
Yeah.
But the point to me is that it's interesting that the corporate media seems to be asleep right now. They're not really covering the Occupy movement or the police brutality.
I'm
sure that the authorities are very much aware of what's coming up on May 1st. During the NATO summit and the G8,
right.
And also the RNC and the DNC. So it's obvious that the police are being trained and the city councils are getting ready for all of this. Meanwhile, if you turn on, you know, the local Fox News, you're not going to hear anything about the Occupy movement. If anything, you're going to hear about the Tea Partiers and how great and wonderful they are.
Well, it's not, it's not just Fox News that you don't hear anything. It's also NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, MSNBC, CNBC. I mean, the entire broadcast media is trying to avoid the Occupy issue because, you know, it was so last year. It was so, ooh, look. I mean, it was so last October, November, December. And if there's one thing that corporate media doesn't like, it's to have to report on the same damn story over and over and over again. It doesn't give their stars any room to shine, and they just can't handle it. And, Mark, I have to leave it there, pal. We're just flat out of time. So, listen, I appreciate you checking in, and stay in touch, because it's going to be an intriguing summer. There is no question about that. Ah, we are out of time for this evening. Don't forget, tomorrow night, Brad Friedman will be filling in. So play nice, all right? And what else? Oh, yeah, Monday, the return of Mike Malloy Radio Gumshoe. And if you miss this, the return of Radio Gumshoe, well, you're missing out on a profound and moving bit of radio theater. I knew it'd come out sometime. All produced and written by Bob Alexander. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Nature Seekers.